Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That was excellent worship. We are blessed. If I would have to go home now, I would be very happy. We have some minutes left. So let's make the best of it. Let us again be attentive to what the Lord wants to speak. Because He always has something to speak to us. There is a reason why we eat and drink several times a day. Our body needs it. What about our spirits? It's been a topic in a lot of conversations during this week. What do we fill ourselves with? We don't want to have a spiritual drought, do we? Or a spiritual hunger or famine. Because God is speaking today. He is moving today. And He has a word for you right now. So, Heavenly Father, as we now go into Your Word, I ask You, Lord, to speak through Your Word and through my lips and the interpreter's lips, Lord, so that it can be a blessing to Your people, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. We've been looking at different Bible stories and characters. And I believe I have yet to deal with something that is brand new to you. Because if I did, you would take me off here and send me home. There's only one Bible. If we don't preach the Bible, we don't preach. Amen. But I'm also glad that God has made the Bible come to life. So we believe that God is not a God who only worked back in the Bible days. Right, Brother Matimba? There's a lot of A. Matimbas, right? Ariel Matimba Stroman.
Ariel Matimba Stroman.
I want to go to 1 Samuel 17.
1 Samuel 17.
I want to read one verse from there before we go back one chapter to Samuel 16.
1 Samuel 16.
And there's a thought from these scriptures that we're going to read today. It will show attitudes. And it also show how God speaks through His servants. And not many will listen. Now, here, this is the story of David. And he says here, now I know there are different translations. The King James uses a different word than the ESV, the English Standard Version. Now, the Lord gave me this in Norwegian. and when I flip to the English, it was the English Standard Version that used the exact word that I emphasized on. And you may say, Ariel, you're taking this word or this sentence a little bit too far. Then just bear with me, okay? I'm not going to change the history of the Bible. I'm not changing the history of the Bible.
No.
But here it says, and David said, what have I done now? Was it not but a cause, it says in the King James Version? Cause.
Okay.
But I'll say the English Standard Version because I understand that better.
Yes.
Was it not but a word? Now this was spoken by his elder brother. And now let's go back to why this brother had this attitude against David. Samuel 16:1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons.
Yehova anati kwa Samuel, kodi udzamulilira Sauli mpaka liti? Popeza ine ndamuka kuti akhale mfumu ya Israeli. Dzadza mafuta mbotolo lako, ndipo unyamuke kupita kwa Yese wa ku Bethlehem, popeza ndadzisankhira mmodzi mwa ana ake kukhala mfumu.
And Samuel is no different than you and I. Even though he was a prophet of God, he had his natural eyes. He had already anointed King Saul earlier. He was a tall man, a warrior, a head above the average Israelites. So it wasn't strange for him then to have his eyes focused on Eliab. This man has the structure. He has the build, the physics, to be a great warrior. A king of Israel needs to be one who stands in the front and leads the war. This one must be it. Verse 6. So it was when they came that they looked at Eliab and said, surely, he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now when Brother Veremu read this verse on Thursday, I thought, oh no. Now he's taking my sermon. But he dealt with the heart. And it's a good foundation for this sermon. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, namely David, in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah.
Samuele anatenga botolo la mafuta ndi kumdzodza pamaso pa bale ake. Ndipo mzimu wa Yehova unabwera mwamphamvu pa Davide kuyambira tsiku limenelo mpaka mtsogolo. Pambuyo pake Samuele anabwera ku Rama.
Now we know the day of Pentecost had not yet come then, right? So God's servants in the Old Testament, they were not baptized with the Holy Spirit, but it was upon them to be led, to speak, to act, and to do exactly what God wanted to be done in the right place at the right time. That's how we learn out of these characters of the Bible. Later, the rumor of this young Hebrew boy out of the tribe of Judah, son of Jesse, that had 8 sons, and even though he was out tending to the sheep a lot, still he had a rumor. And you read that when Saul's helpers saw that David, that he needed someone to comfort him. Because of his disobedience, God had sent a spirit to trouble him. And this goes to show that somebody already knew of David in the court of Saul. Verse 18. Then one of the servants answered and said, "Look, I've seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, who is skillful in playing and a mighty man of valor and a man of war, prudent in speech and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him."
Mods Mahanstrakanat. Inendaona mwana wa Yesu wa Bethlehem. Ndiye muntu wodziwa bwino kuimba, wolimba mtima ngwazi pa nkhondo, wodziwa kuyankhula ndi wokongola ndipo Yehova ali ndi iye.
Now what an introduction. This is already known of David before he came to the court of Saul. Verse 21. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Now, does an armor bearer carry a harp? You read that Jonathan had an armor bearer.
Jonathan,
he did not carry a harp. He carried a sword. So when there was 20 men there up in the hill, and the Lord inspired Jonathan to go up and strike them, Jonathan made the first blow with the sword and went to the next one. The armor bearer took his sword and made sure the soldier was dead. So that's the work of an armor bearer. It's a close military assistant, you could say, a companion in battle. It also says he's one that carries the king's weapons and also could act on his behalf in combat. So that's what Saul was looking at when he looked at David. Chapter 17.
15.
And here you read that, but David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. So that means he was still tending to his father's sheep. And whenever he was needed, he was back in the court of Saul. So then, when David's father, Jesse, said, "Now your brothers are in war, the three eldest, Eliab being one of them, I want you to go check on them if they are okay. Bring cheese, bring bread, bring refreshments." And he gave enough so they could feed their leaders as well. And I don't have to read all that, but but in verse
22,
David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper and ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. That was David's attention. He was not there to take part in the war. He loved his brothers. "Brothers, good to see you. Are you okay? How are you?" All of a sudden, his ears catches something. He hears the large voice, a high voice, with words of mockery, words of insult, despising the people of Israel, insulting the God of Israel. Insulting the God of Israel. And as we have read, the Spirit of God was upon him. Now that did something. God sowed something in his heart. There is no way, whoever that person is, he's not getting away with those words. Nobody mocks God nor his people. And I believe he didn't even need to see the size of the giants. It didn't matter. He's as good as dead. Like Joshua and Caleb. They didn't see the giants in the land. They saw the milk and honey. They saw the promises of God.
In
verse 23. Then as he talked with them, there was a champion in the Philistine of Gath. Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid.
Israeli ataona munduyo anamtawa ndi manja akulu.
So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel."
Izabeleka chuma chambiri kwa mundu amene adzamupe. Izabeleka nso mwana wake wamkazi kuti amkwatire ndiponso banja la bambo ake silidzapeleka nso msonkho mu Israeli.
Now, who here amongst us would like to have exemption from paying taxes? Especially if you are in the region. I think maybe 60-70% of our money goes to taxes. They tax us at least 30% of our income. And then they tax 30% of everything we buy.
So,
and if you have your money in the bank, and you have to tax on the interest of your own money. So that's why David said, "Could you please say that one more time?" Can you repeat that? We don't have to pay taxes?
Woo!
I get a girl?
Woo!
Yeah, was David all about the reward? Was he curious about the reward? He didn't care about the reward. He was already anointed king. Who cares what this natural king will give me? All he knew was the Spirit of God was upon him. And this Philistine has to die. But he had to ask again for the reward. And 26, then David spoke to the man stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man who kills this Philistine?" He needs to hear it again, right? "And takes away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?"
David anafusa ambu amene anaima pafupi naye kuti, "Kodi adzamchita chiyani mundu amene adzapa mfilistiwe? Ndi kuchotsa chitonzo pakati pa Israeli. Mfilisti wosa chita mdulidweyu.
He's now under the anointing of God. He couldn't care less about the reward. And 27, and the people answered him in this manner, saying, "So shall it be done for the man who kills him." And then they repeat it again. And David's brothers are there right with him, listening to this. And anger rises up in Eliab. Why? Verse 28, now the oldest brother Eliab, when he heard him, when his oldest brother heard when he spoke to the man, and Eliab's anger arose against David, he said, "Now why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those sheep in the wilderness?" You know, mocking him, right? "I know of your pride and the innocence and the insolence of your heart, for you have come here just to see the battle."
Eliab, mkulu wake wa David, atamumba kuyankula ndi anthuwo, anamkwira ndipo anamfuza kuti, "Nchifukwa chiyani wabwera kuno? Ndipo wasira yani nkosa zochepa mchipululu? Ndikudziwa kuti ndiwe wodzikuza ndiponso woipa mtima. Unabwera kuno kuti udzaonere nkhondo."
Now he was a close brother to David, right? And this is his testimony of his close brother. Does that make the testimony true? Has people said similar things about you? Do you recognize David in this illustration from his brother? We see none of it in the Bible. This was driven by anger. His anger was driven by envy and jealousy. He's seen Samuel anoint him. He's seen the prophet say, "No, not him. Oh, you refused one of the prophet and of God." And that's when David just answers. What have I done now? Was it not but a word? Now, David needed to get to the king, right? David needed to cause commotion in the camp. David needed the people to start talking. Something is going on here. Because David knew what was going to happen. He just needed to be set, you know, put before King Saul. That's why he repeatedly asked about the reward. So that people would start saying, "Hey, there's someone here now really interested." If it would ask only once, it could be out of curiosity, right? But twice or thrice, this guy must really mean something here. In verse 30, then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did.
Verse 30.
Now the words which David spoke were heard, and they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. And of course, when they looked at him, he was a cute looking boy. And didn't look like a soldier at all. So he had to convince them, I can do this. I'm prepared for this. I've killed a bear. I killed a lion. And when the lion rose to attack me, I struck it. And I think that would ring a bell with any Israelite who knew their history. Where has this happened before? Samson. Maybe the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. So verse 37. Moreover, David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Even though the Spirit of God had left him, Saul, he still knew what it felt like to be under the Spirit of God. And he recognized that when he saw David.
Verse 47.
And that all this assembly may know. Oh, wait, 45. I'm going to read from verse 45.
45.
Yeah. Now David is facing the Philistine. Yeah, then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of our hosts, and the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied."
Koma ine ni kugwera kwa iwe mzina la Yehova wa mpambu zonse mulungwa angondo a Israel amene iwe ukawanyoza.
And then he prophesies.
Anapeleka manje unene.
This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you, and this day I will give the carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.
Anatiso lero lino Yehova adzakupeleka mmanja mwako. Ndidzakukanda ndikudula mutu wako. Ndidzapeleka mitembo ya asilikali a Filisti kwa mbalani za mlengalenga. Ndikwa zirombo za kutenga ndipo dziko lonse la pansi lidzadziwa kuti mu Israeli muli Mulungu.
And that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you, and he will give you into our hand.
Onse amene asonkhana pano adzadziwa kuti Mulungu sapulumutsa anthu ndi lupanga kapena mkondo, pakuti nkondo ndi ya Yehova. Iye adzakuperekani mʼmanja mwake.
So from this story, when David says, "What have I done?" Was it not but a word? David was not the one doing it. He was under the inspiration of God the Almighty. And God had something that needed to be done. The people were oppressed. They were suffering. They were full of fear, and a giant stood in the way. And God was about to deliver the people from this giant and the Philistines. That was one purpose. But God also needed to present David to the people. Behold, this is what a leader should be. One that did not fit the testimony of his brother Eliab. Because the people didn't see that in him either. They saw a man full of courage and full of the Spirit of the Lord. And I believe we ourselves should expect to come into similar situations. I believe some, not or all, have been in similar situations. If you think about Joseph, son of Jacob, what is the first thing that comes to mind when you think of him? Well, when DreamWorks made a cartoon movie about Joseph, they call it Joseph, the Prince of Dreams. Because he had dreams. He also interpreted dreams, right? And I just want to read some scriptures also from Genesis 37. And Jacob favored Joseph. There was something special about him. And like I said in my previous sermon about God's favoritism, I believe God put something in Jacob. That there's a certain calling for this one. So by giving him his coat of many colors, it was not fair to the other brothers. So already an Eliab attitude was among the brethren. Oh, daddy's boy. Daddy's boy. Oh yeah, just go be with daddy you. As a real man, we're going to go work. So he didn't have a high standing among his brethren. Because he was the youngest until Benjamin was born. And when we come to verse 5 in Genesis 37. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, well, please hear the dream which I have dreamed. And then he dreams about the sheaves of grain that was bowing for him, you know, 11 griefs of shame. Or shames of grief, yeah. That was bowing for his. For his sheep was bowing for him. And they were already angry with him. So did that help? You're going to bow to me, big brothers. I don't think Joseph had that attitude when he shared the dream. He was just being honest. Guys, you can't believe. I had the strangest dreams. And I believe he felt the presence from the Lord when he had that dream. And that's why he told it. Not to be annoying. So verse 8, as his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Now, was Joseph naive? Was he like a little bit slow? You know, in the head, as you could say, right? It's what people will say if they want to insult you. They will say, is there anybody home up there? Right? They want to insult you. Hello? Because he said, well, there's more. I had another dream. Now, would that help them? Would that make them love him more? And now the 11 stars and the moon and the sun was bowing for me. Still, he didn't share the dream with an attitude of thinking he was somebody. He honestly believed, the Lord gave this to me. I think it means something. And then even his father. Now, Joseph, this is going a bit too far. Because he says here in verse 10, it says, shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him. But his father kept it in his heart. He was wise. He himself had dreams. He saw angels go up and down a ladder. Knowing they're around us, they're speaking to us. They're messengers of God appearing before us to speak words. Also in dreams. And, you know, in this message, even though Joseph didn't say it, but for the sake of this thought today, brothers, what have I done? Wasn't it but a dream? It was just a dream. But like the words of David had a purpose. They were prophetic. Something was going to happen. God was going to deliver his people. And it took a boy getting unpopular amongst his closest to get the word out for then to be established as surely this was from the Lord when it later came to pass. Just like the dream. We know this story, so I don't need to say anything more, right? About this story. Because surely they bowed to him. If he hadn't been in Egypt, there would have been famine, not just amongst his brethren, but in the whole kingdom. But it took some years of pain, of agony, of hardship, of lies, betrayal. But still, he kept the path. And when time was right, he was at the right hand of Pharaoh, delivering his people. Can you be a deliverer of some people? Surely you can. God is the same God today. He didn't stop. We know he didn't stop in the book of Genesis with the prophet Samuel. We know that. We have the book of Acts to prove that. And surely he didn't stop there either. We have an age, church ages, to prove how God had messenger servants that would take the exact same unpopular route, be ridiculed, and some even didn't get the reward like David got his reward. He got the daughter of Saul. He became the next in the kingdom and became a general in the army of Saul. And later became king, right? Joseph got his reward. He got to be next to Pharaoh in the kingdom. Not that those positions meant anything to them. But it meant something to God. God needed them in those positions to get the job done. God needs you and me in different positions to get the job done. Is there work to do? Surely there is work to do. But you will meet the same opposition. You will may even hit a wall that seems impenetrable. But if God is going to bring you through that wall, you'll get through that wall. Because God has a work that needs to be done. And we're in 2026. God gives dreams in
2026.
God works through his body in 2026. And I believe God has invested something in you and in I. Attributes, gifts, callings, to wherever, to whomever, your neighbor, your classmate, your colleague, your brothers, your sister, your church, other churches, prisons. Or even strangers. Like you heard this morning in the mosque. And when you will be attacked for that, right? Because what the spirit that is upon you and within you is in opposition of the spirit that is upon your accusers. And you say, well, was it not but a word? Was it not but a dream? Was it not but a prophecy? Was it not but just in a discernment of spirits? Was it not but a word in tongues? Was it just not by words of interpretation? Was it not just by a word of knowledge? Or was it not just but a word of wisdom? God is operating through his body with the gifts of the Spirit. What we have read now were the use of the gifts of the Spirit without having the Spirit within them, but upon them. And people who are used of God, preachers, pastors, it's a tough life. Everybody expects something from you, right? And the first mistake you make, you're out. I don't have no confidence in you anymore. I don't need to listen to you. Because you're expected to be better than the rest, right? Was it just not but a sermon? Because God anointed you with a sermon. And it pricked some hearts, just like it pricked some hearts in the day of Pentecost. And some said, well, what shall we do then? Repent, be baptized to the remission of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And others said, which hearts were pricked, stone stone him. Stephen was stoned when it pricked the heart of the Jews. Because it opposed them. They were not of the same spirit, right? And I remember my father has shared this story many times. It was his first experience about that, what his calling would be. An old sister that he had never seen before in a random meeting that he only attended once shook his hand and prophesied over him. I will send you over oceans, over mountains, overseas. And you will preach my word. He said, no way. The sister could have said, well, it was but a prophecy. But it was inspired from God. My father just didn't know it. Until he found himself overseas and over mountains. And the prophecy was quoted, it came again as a confirmation by another brother on the other side of the pond. Meaning on the other side of the Atlantic. And then he said, surely, it was from God. I shared in one of the sermons here a testimony about a prophecy that came in our church in 1993. That gave an incredible expectation in the youth, in the young people. And within some months, it all had come to pass. Joel's prophecy had come to pass again in 1993. And the people accused us for that. That's just some charismatic gibberish and just motions and... But for the ones who heard the prophecy and later experienced the fulfillment of it, it was a confirmation. Surely, God, you're not just moving the elders. You're moving us young people too. We found ourselves visiting a brother, you know, all the young people were at his house. And what we normally would do was we'd just, you know, talk, laugh, have fun, play games. Sometimes we would sing Christian songs together, have a good time. But all of a sudden, people started gathering in the kitchen. And this was just young people. And people were talking about expectation. About sermons being preached. About, I wonder what God is, you know, going to do now. And then one brother said, I feel like we should pray together. And this is strange to say here in amongst you people. We had not done that before as young people. Prayer was something we did in church. And with our parents at home. Not when young people just come to fellowship. And the Spirit of the Lord came in that kitchen. And we couldn't believe it. Wow, and there was no adults here. It was just young people. So again, God was just confirming. We were realizing This is our time. This is, we were that generation that God was now stirring up, equipping and building up, so that we would not just be spectators anymore, but take part. Be prayerful. Be expecting. And that led to a lot of the testimonies that I have shared that happened after this. And in January
10,
in 2023, that's now 3 years ago, I was going to stand up to preach in our church. And my father just came and cut in. I just want to share an experience I had last night. I was sitting in my chair meditating. And then the presence of the Lord came down. And it was just one sentence that was spoken to my heart. Pay attention to what I will do in the days to come. And that was all. Now, why would he say that? But I was feeling from that time of, now it's 3 years ago, that God is again moving. Because I'm old. I'm old now. There's a new generation. And God needs to touch the heart of the next generation. And it just, you know, it just spoke so strongly to my heart. And it just made me realize something. Lord, of course. Because you don't skip a generation. God never skips one generation and says, I'm going to leave this one alone and then wait for the next one to come. There's always a time of visitation for every generation. Otherwise, what will people say on the day of judgment? No, God, you skipped my generation. I'm innocent. I didn't hear anything. No, God, he visits every generation. And there was a... we were in the Philippines in December in
24.
And I remember, especially a Saturday night evening, and I was done preaching, and it was a message of invitation in that sermon. And I was carrying a burden. So as soon as I was finished preaching, I just went down and I knelt. I wanted to be prayed for. I just felt this burden. And as I was feeling that, all of a sudden, I could just sense a lot of people coming up around me. There was a lot of commotion, a lot of people coming up for prayer. And the Lord came with such a presence. And I think I have to rewind back maybe 30 years to remember the last time I felt such an experience from God. I was in agony and I was, but not hurting. I was happy, but still, it was a pressure. And it was from God. It was His presence upon the people. And some made it to the front. Some didn't make it to the front. But the Lord was just moving the congregation. And this was a youth fellowship. So it was only young people. And I was thinking, Lord, this is what you want us to pay attention for. You're moving on the younger generation. And I was just so full of gratitude. Plus, I have someone I'm praying for that are young and that have not yet received the Lord. And I was just crying out as loud as I could for God to save some more souls. They need you, Lord. And when this service was over, the next Sunday morning, a brother from the south in the Philippines, in the island of Mindanao, it was in around the Davao, Tagum area, a 16-year-old had a vision. And in the vision, she saw herself up for prayer in a meeting with a lot of people. And she recognized some faces around her. And especially two of the faces that she recognizes in this vision, or dream, maybe it was a dream, I'm sure. They hadn't been in church in a long time. And when she had this dream, she already knew about the convention to come. A youth convention where they would fly from the south island of Mindanao to the island of Luzon and be in Angeles. And she said, I can't wait to get there. Because God is going to revive the young people. And some in the church had decided that they would sponsor all the young people who wanted in the church who wanted to go so that they could be in part of that convention. And I think it was only briefly, just some days or maybe the week before the convention would start, the two persons she saw in the dream came to church. And the sister who was sponsoring the other, she went straight to them. You want to go to the youth commission too? Yeah, we'd like that. And this really excited this girl who had this dream. Because now, the people that was missing in her dream were now booked to go to that convention. Still, she had not told anyone. She kept it in her heart. And then when this Saturday night happened, she was one of the first young people up for prayer. And when the Lord came with His Spirit, and she opened her eyes for a second, she saw the situation. She saw the faces, the ones that weren't supposed to be there. They were no longer in church. Here they were. Well, well. So you're a dreamer, huh? Well, it was just but a dream. Yet the Lord confirmed it. The Lord did something to a 16-year-old's inner being. She will never forget that. No, when she turns 96, she will still remember that. God, you did something for me there. Not only did you touch me and poured your spirit upon me, but you told me beforehand that it was going to happen. That's the God we serve. That is what He still is doing today. I know there's a lot of churches that have church order, and they want to control the movement of the Holy Spirit. I've been in church meetings like that. I was about to be strangled. I remember once, I said, Lord, I felt the Spirit of the Lord, and I was in a church where there was church order. There was no move of the Spirit. And I felt the Spirit of God move. I said, Lord, what can I do? I can't contain myself. I'm trying to hold back. But He just slayed me, and here I was laying, almost in the neighbor's lap. But the Lord doesn't care. Whatever order a church has set, God is above church order. Mercy most definitely is above church order. There's a need in the people. The people need to be moved by the Lord. The people need experiences from God firsthand, not handed down from a brother to another, or from a mother to a son or a daughter. No, from God the Almighty directly to a young person's heart. This is your time of visitation. There's a new generation today. God is not walking by you. No, He's stopping right, pointing right at you. Son, daughter, I am talking to you right now. Raise to your feet and receive in the name of Jesus Christ. He is almighty. He's not almost mighty. He's almighty. God is in control. God rules. Take your rule books out of the church. Leave the Bible. And let the Spirit of God have His way. Do we believe that? And this is not emotions. Even though the Spirit of God makes us emotional, we are humans. And God knows our needs. And I tell you, there's so many crying, just like I was. Lord, this is just for the grown-ups, isn't it? No, my son, it isn't. Here you go. Have your share. Thank you, Lord, for giving me my share. And God is not dodging anyone. He wants you. He wants to fill you. He wants to use you. He wants to send you out on the mission fields. And He wants you to penetrate through any opposition that you will face in me. No matter what it is. No matter how big the giant is. No matter how big and huge the Amalekites are. They're miniature in the eyes of God. Almighty God is looking down upon this earth. And here is man raising his fist against God. Ah, there's no God. There's no such thing. He doesn't speak today. And God sees them as little ants. Pity on you, little ant. You're refusing me. You're rejecting me. Well, I'll just let you be. There will come a day. And if not, judgment awaits you. That is serious. This is a serious hour. And God is calling a people. So many have set dates on the coming of the Lord. Every date has passed. Well, there's still some dates probably up that some church has set. Some big leader, some very Holy Ghost filled person got a new revelation. Who cares? There's a work to do. Let's just... The bride is making herself ready, isn't she? That's what we need to do. The signs... They will happen. The prophecies... They will be fulfilled. To the dot... Because it's God's word. And by that, I think we will close. As I close, I want to thank you all for having me here. Thank you, Brother Piri, for the invitation. I didn't think it was a joke, but still, I wasn't sure if it was serious. When on our day of independence last year, 17th of May, sent the invite. So I gave the classic answer. I'll pray about it. That's what we do. But I think he kind of took advantage of my testimony. He knew I didn't have an excuse. And I guess probably that's why I'm here too. Because the Lord stirred something in my heart when that invitation came. And I think, Lord, what do I have to bring? You know, there's so many you could send, Lord. But the Lord knows that. Still, he said, go. So, and the rest is up to the Lord. And most importantly, the people of the Lord in this place. You know, if God has spoken to your heart through the meetings, to Pastor Verimu, Pastor Matimba, that's what matters. And that you can feel you have a new beginning. If you were on a wrong path before, you know, you don't leave here the same way you came. I don't leave here the same way I came. That is my testimony. And I have a new... I've always had you as my family. But now I have faces on you. So now I love you even more. God bless you and amen. Amen. Yeah.